Psalm 141. We're going to look at the first couple of verses of this psalm primarily, and looking at the topic of prayer. We're going to look at David's attitude here towards prayer as displayed in these verses and some things that we can learn from it. There's a lot to be learned about prayer in this little psalm. Just the first couple of verses and that talk about prayer, and there's a couple more throughout the psalm, but going through this, it's amazing how much is in every little verse of the Bible, even in between the verses of the Bible sometimes. Let me go ahead and read. I'm just going to start off with reading the first two verses of Psalm 141. It says, "Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." All right, I'm going to stop right there. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer before we get into the message. Dear Father, thank you so much that we can come to you now in prayer and that we can have this time to look at your word. We pray that you would bless this time. Please fill me with your spirit. Help me to say only what you'd have me to say. Please open our minds and our hearts. Help us to understand your word here this morning and to apply it to our lives. And we love you. We ask things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, as I said, this psalm here, Psalm of David, says some things about prayer. I'd like to dig into this a little bit. And from this, we can learn a lot about prayer, how to pray, when to pray, why to pray, what to pray, all in this little psalm. And it's a very important message to us, I believe, about prayer. It is something that in Colossians 4, verse 2, Paul commanded to continue in prayer and to watch in the same. To watch in the same. So it's not enough just simply to continue in prayer, although that would be one thing we look at here as well. But we need to watch in prayer. We need to know, how are we praying? Is it the right way? Is my heart in it? Is it just repetitive? Or what is it like? But so, well, I believe this verses here will give us a chance to examine that and to help us with that here this morning. So, starting off there in verse 1, we see David is crying to the Lord. It uses the word cries. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. David is crying to the Lord. This is an intense prayer. This is not a light prayer. This is not something that is taken lightly by David. You can see here, he's in some kind of trouble, most likely, and or is perhaps convicted about something, and he is crying to the Lord. This is something we see a lot throughout the Bible, actually, in prayer, is crying to the Lord. Crying to the Lord shows putting our trust in him. I'd like to look at this a little bit about crying to the Lord. There's a lot of scripture passages we could go to, but usually when we see this people crying to the Lord in prayer, it's because they are admitting their inability and they need God's help in a situation. They're in a desperate situation and they need God's help. We'll look at a couple of these. 1 Chronicles 5:20. We just mentioned this one. I'll turn there and read that to you. We'll look at a couple of them here. But 1 Chronicles 5:20 says, "And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them, for they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them because they put their trust in him." So this is an example. There's several in the book of Chronicles and Kings where you see people are in battle and they are desperate and they cry to the Lord. And this person tells us that their crying to God meant that they put their trust in him. They cried to God in the battle. He was entreated of them because they put their trust in him. In Exodus chapter 2, it talks about how the children of Israel, they sighed by reason of the bondage that they were in Egypt, and they cried unto the Lord, and their cry came up unto the Lord because of their bondage, by reason of their bondage. You see, Israel and Egypt crying to the Lord in times of bondage. in Judges chapter 3. You see this a couple of times where Israel is again in bondage under some enemy, and they cry unto the Lord, and God raises up a deliverer for the children of Israel. Crying to the Lord. Crying to the Lord. Admitting your inability to help yourself and turning to the Lord for help. In 2 Chronicles chapter 13, see this again. Let me read you this one as well. Kind of another battle situation. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Verse 14. When Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. They cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with trumpets. So Judah's in a situation here. They're surrounded in the battle. They cry unto the Lord. The men of Judah give a shout. As the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And this was a great slaughter. The next verse, the slaughter was 500,000 men were killed in this battle. So this is a huge battle. But you see, there's another example here. Abijah with the children of Judah, they're in this civil war against Jeroboam. And they cry to the Lord, and God delivers them, and he helps them. Look at Psalm chapter 34. Let's take a look at this one. Look at this for a couple minutes. Another crying to the Lord. So first thing we see from Psalm 141, we're looking at here, in regards to prayer, is that prayer should be crying to the Lord. Or at least at times, we see where this is brought out. Look at Psalm 34, look at verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You see, if you read this passage down through verse 18 or just through the end of the chapter, it shows this attitude in prayer, this humble attitude in prayer. This poor man cried. So this person who is coming to God in prayer, he's recognizing by crying to God, he's recognizing his needy state. This poor man cried. When we pray to the Lord, when I pray to the Lord, when you pray to the Lord, how do you come to the Lord? What attitude do you have in your prayer? What is it? A humble, like, I am a poor man that needs the Lord, and you cry unto the Lord for his help. This is the attitude we see in Scripture in prayer. Needy, recognizing inability, not depending on oneself. This can be hard to do sometimes. We like to be able to be confident in our abilities and in ourselves, but there, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we need to recognizing our need for the Lord and crying unto the Lord. Look down in verse 17 and 18 of this of Psalm 34. It said, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be a contrite spirit." Such a tremendous lesson we have here in our attitude in prayer. Having a humble spirit, having being righteous, having a broken heart, a contrite heart. But the righteous cry unto the Lord. This is something we'll point out here in a minute. But can my prayer, and our prayers, be described as crying to the Lord? Do I show a desperate dependence on him by praying? Or do I just pray because I know it's a good thing to do? Is my prayer life, we examine ourselves here and think, is my prayer life, is it, well, one, do we're not necessarily talking as much as, at this point, on, you know, the fact that we should be praying every day. We will talk about that in a minute. But this is more in the how. But, okay, is my prayer life, when I pray every day, I have my prayer time. What is that like? How desperate am I in my praying time? Am I crying to God? Is it? Do I just go through the motions? Do I just go through, well, I've gotten up, this is my time for prayer, so I'm going to go to prayer time? Or am I like Psalm 34 man, or David in Psalm 141, where recognizing the state I am? Am I thinking about, am I reading God's word and thinking about who I am, who God is, my situation for the day? I don't know what's going to happen today. And I've got the enemy, the devil, is against me. I've got my flesh that I have to fight for this day. You know, I'm going to try to strive to be a Christian soldier for the Lord. And my prayer time is going to be extremely critical to this, and our attitude in this prayer time. Are we serious about it? Are we serious enough that it could be described as crying to the Lord? Can our prayer time be described as that? Webster defines the word crying here in this case as to call importunately, to utter a loud voice by way of earnest request of prayer. That's Webster's definition of that. To call importunately. When we go before our Lord God in prayer, do you realize who you are going to? Do you think about who it is you're going to and the opportunity you have there to pray to God, the Almighty, all-powerful, sovereign, knowing God? Do we cry to God in prayer? And we can ask God to hear us. Back in Psalm 141, something interesting to note. Let's see, in back in verse 1, it says, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Give ear unto my voice. He's asking God here to hear him. He's asking God, please give ear to my voice. Hear my prayer. He's asking God. And, you know, what is required of us for God to hear us, to hear our prayers? Well, we've kind of read some of those as we've just gone through Psalm 34 and some other scriptures that we'll see. You know, he says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. The Lord hears the cry of the righteous, of the poor and contrite, of the broken spirit. If we are going to God and we're not serious about our prayer life, it's just we're doing it just out of duty, or even in a prideful way, God is not going to hear that prayer. But what is required for God to hear me? Well, to be humble, to be righteous. I think a case can be made by studying out in Scripture as well, is when us hearing God, you know, when we ask God to hear us, we need to examine ourselves. Am I listening to God? When I go to prayer, I want God to hear me, to hear my prayer. Am I giving ear to God's voice? The Bible talks about how if things that will hinder us from hearing God are things like stubbornness, rebellion, sin in our lives. That will actually stop our ears from hearing the Spirit of God, from understanding the Word of God, from hearing God. So are we clean? Are we clean when we go before God? Are we listening to God's voice? Are we crying to God? In our times of prayer. Could our prayer be described like David's here in Psalm 141, verse 1? Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. And God will listen to this man's prayers. He's coming before God, poor in spirit, showing that he needs the Lord, his need of the Lord. Of course, in Luke 18, he gives a tremendous example. Let's just look at this real quick in Luke chapter 18. Such a great picture of what we're talking about here. Luke 18 and verse 9. Says he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What a great picture we have here. We have this prideful Pharisee who's going before God, and, you know, he just brags on himself. His prayer is not heard. The prayer is heard is of the publican. The publican, this guy was a sinner. He was a publican. He had betrayed his nation of Israel and was profiting by stealing from people. This guy was a wicked guy. He was an outcast of society, not even allowed to be in the synagogue. But he goes to God humbly. He won't even lift his eyes to heaven, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's recognizing who God is. He's recognizing the truth of God's nature, of his mercy. He's recognizing who he is as a sinner and his unworthiness to come before God. This man's prayer was heard. What is our prayer like when we go before God? Is it humble? Is it contrite? Is it recognizing who we are and who God is? That, if so, your prayers will be heard, just like publican here in this point. Also, think about crying. Crying is easy and simple, sincere. Everyone can do it. Babies do it. Babies do it a lot. They do it all the time. Anyone here who has children, who has had children, you know that when a baby is crying, he needs something and he's not able to get it. You know, a newborn baby especially. All they can do is lay there and cry and say, "Feed me. I'm hungry. I'm dirty. I need something." That's the picture, kind of, I think of it. Us who come before God, all we can do is cry to God, like, "God, I can't." We have to admit our inability and go to God for help. So have you done that in your life, in whatever situation, whatever needs you may have? Do you work hard yourself first to try to accomplish it, and then you get to the point where, okay, I guess I'll go to God. I need God. Or do you first go to God and say, "God, I need you. I need help with this." Are we going to God with our prayers, with our needs, with our spiritual needs, with our physical needs? That going to God, crying is easy and simple and sincere. God wants our prayers to be from the heart and to the point. You know, when a baby is hungry and is crying, he doesn't give this long dissertation on the value of food and why he needs it and what's happening in his body. He just cries and says, "Food," you know. So when we cry to God, it's going to be simple, sincere, to the point. "Lord, here's what I need. Please help." That's the kind of the picture we have here of Psalm 141. David is desperate. He's crying to God. Let's look at verse 2. A few things here. Verse 2, Psalm 141, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." Incense is also often brought out as a picture of prayer in the Old Testament, in the Bible. This is interesting here. I want to look a little bit in Exodus about this incense and this offering. Go back to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, or I'll just read it to you if you don't want to turn my Bible. We're going to look at this incense. Why is David referring to his prayer? Why does David want his prayers to be like incense? And like the offering, the evening offering here. Exodus 30, let me just read starting verse 7, a couple of verses. "Then Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. When Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering. Neither shall you pour drink offering thereon." Anyways, there's some instructions here regarding incense. There's going to be a couple things brought about prayer regarding incense and the sacrifice, so that our prayers should be a continual, perpetual thing, and also a regular set thing at set times. But first of all, as incense. So this incense was to be before the Lord perpetually, without interruption. Without interruption. So it is a perpetual incense before the Lord. He was going to light it in the morning. He was going to light it in the evening, every day, so that it continued. It was relit every morning, every evening by the priest. It was never allowed to be put out in the tabernacle or in the temple. Not allowed to be put out. So David's saying he wants his prayer to be like that incense. Our prayers should be continually before the Lord. And we should go throughout our day in the spirit of prayer. In the spirit of prayer. And then we're going to look at there also should be set times where we set apart for, you know, getting on our knees and praying before God. But in this says, as incense, our prayers should be continually before the Lord. Talking with the Lord. Bringing any problems that come up throughout the Lord. Being ready to go to the Lord with any problem. Looking for ways to praise the Lord throughout each day. This is something that helps keep our perspective right and keep us clean. Because if I want to be able to go to the Lord in prayer throughout the day, I've got to be living right. I've got to be doing right. If I do something that is wrong, if I get upset, if I, you know, let my temper get out of control, or let my lust get out of control, or whatever it is, and I'm not right with God. The Holy Spirit is convicting me, and I'm not right. And if I'm not making that right, I'm not in that communication with the Lord. I'm not in that state of prayer with the Lord. I can't go. What I need then is to go to God on my knees and confess and repent and restore that relationship. But we should have that continual relationship throughout the day with the Lord. Our prayer should be continually throughout the Lord. You know, there's other verses, such as 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. James chapter 5, let me read this one to you. I don't have this one written out, and I'm not going to try to quote it up here. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer, again, this idea here, and fervent really means like hot or ardent, and something continually, something that's zealous even, as we heard about. 1 Chronicles 16:11 tells us to seek God's face continually. In Luke 18, Jesus taught that men ought always to pray. He gave parables teaching that men ought always to pray. Ephesians 6:18 tells us praying always. In Luke chapter 11, we give parables of praying importunately. God wants us to pray always, like incense, to let it always be before the Lord. As you go throughout the day, are you talking with the Lord? Are you communicating with the Lord? Are you going without the Lord? It's amazing how much that will help. I know the days that I'm good at that are much better, much different than the days where I'm not so good at that, where I'm not very careful about that. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit just helps to provide the fruit of the Spirit in your life when you are maintaining that prayer relationship, communication with the Lord throughout the day. You can do that. This is what David referred to as an incense. And then also he says, as the evening sacrifice, as the evening sacrifice. Look at Exodus 29. If you're still in Exodus 30 there, it's right before that. Exodus 29 talks about the evening sacrifice. Let's look at verse 38. So now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour, mingled with the fourth part of beaten oil, fourth part of the hin and wine and drink offering. Goes on to tell some more details about this. Look at verse 42. So this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. There will I meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify both Aaron and his sons to me in the priest's office. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord their God, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. The sacrifice was something that was to happen at a consistent set time every day without fail. I believe there's an obvious lesson there. If our prayer is supposed to be like this evening sacrifice, we should have a consistent set time of prayer every day that we strive to maintain without fail, unless providentially hindered or something comes up. But as much as possible, we need to set a consistent time of prayer each day. This is an obvious lesson here from our prayers being as the evening sacrifice before God. This was something that was offered set time every day. This was a sweet savor to the Lord. This was something that the Lord loved. This was at the tabernacle, at the place of the sacrifice. This is where God met with them and talked with them, as we read in verse 42, where I will meet you to speak there unto you. This is a picture here of, as you know, the children of Israel, they would go, and they offered this sacrifice, you know, at even, and there was a morning one as well, but talking specifically about the evening one. God says, that's where I'm going to meet with you and speak with you, is at this sacrifice, at the tabernacle. And you go on, you know, that's going to cause them to be sanctified. That's going to give them the knowledge of, well, who is my God? That's going to set up the Lord as their God. So how do you, in your life, how do I, in my life, set the Lord God as my God, where He is my pursuit, where He is my goal, where He is, you know, He is who I love. He is who's everything about my life is about the Lord. He is my God. Well, the first step in doing that is meet Him every day in prayer. God will meet you there and speak with you there. This is their picture of the evening sacrifice. This is where God meets with you. This is critical. This is just a crucial part of being a Christian life. Have a set time of prayer every day where you meet the Lord. Your prayers must be like this. We must be set regular. God blesses continual, regular prayer and faithfulness to it. And now, of course, as we go through it, you know, that's why we mentioned at the beginning, we talked about Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same. The danger with having that set regular time prayer is it becomes mundane. So you watch it to make it faithful. But this is key. This is where God will speak to us with His Word. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. We need Him to teach us His Word. That's why we have a time of prayer and a time of Bible reading each day. God will use us to sanctify us for the Lord's use so He can use us in service to Him. God's glory will be seen through this. The Lord will dwell with us. He will be our God, our life, what we live for. See, so many benefits from doing this, from having our prayer as an evening sacrifice. This is where we meet with God. So, maybe newer Christian, younger Christian, maybe Christian for a long time. Of course, this message is definitely focused more on those who do know for sure that they are Christians, that they have accepted the Lord as their Savior. But you know, what has your prayer life been like? Have you experienced the times where you've had sweet communion and prayer with the Lord, and where it's been like a sweet savor to the Lord, and you knew that the Lord was speaking to you, and you are speaking with the Lord, and you're in His Word. This is what God wants our Christian life to be like. Now, this regular prayer, this develops trust in the Lord, sets our eyes on the Lord. This keeps us from sin. There's so many things that this regular set time of prayer can do for us. Back in Psalm 141, I'll mention a couple verses towards the end of the psalm that talk about this. Psalm 141, verse 8 and 9 says, "But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and from the gins, I'm not sure how to pronounce that word correctly, I should look that up, of the workers of iniquity." So one thing that David's prayer life has led to is his eyes being on the Lord and trusting in the Lord and keeping him from evil, keeping from the snares which they have laid for me, keeping from the snares of the devil, snares of enemies. And if our eyes are on the Lord, He will keep us from the snare. If our eyes are on the Lord, following the Lord, He will protect us throughout our life. So having these set regular prayer time will protect us. It will protect us spiritually. God will guide us as our eyes are set on Him through having this regular prayer time. As a shepherd watches over sheep, we have that picture in the Bible as well. And David, he wanted to be kept from evil. And then a note on verse 3 as well. So we read verses 1 and 2. So verse 2 is, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." And he goes into this well-known verse. We sing this as one of our scripture songs. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let me not eat of their dainties." So this is some of his prayer that we have here to him. And of course, there's a couple obvious applications, but yours, guarding our mouth. God, we're asking God to guard our mouths with what we say. But I think in the context, there's another application as well regarding our prayer life. Kind of similar along with Colossians 4:2, telling us to watch in the same. Ask the Lord to help us in our prayer life, to protect. I believe that's the idea of what he's asking here. In setting a watch for his mouth, keeping the door of his lips, is protecting his prayer life, that he says the right thing, that he prays the right thing, that he keeps it what it ought to be. So we should ask for that. We should ask for God to help us with that. And so God is our creator. He's our savior. For those of us who are saved, he loves us. He wants to be with us. And this is a set time each day where we can have that time with God in our prayer time with the Lord. Do you have that set time each day? So for our prayer life, can your prayer life be described as crying to the Lord? Are you serious about it? Are you serious about your when you are praying? Are your prayers real and serious and sincere and simple? Are they continual? Is your prayer life, do you have that continual, perpetual walk with the Lord, where your prayers are continually before the Lord, going throughout the day in the spirit of prayer? And then do you have that regular prayer time as the evening sacrifice, as the Bible says we looked at? Do you have that regular prayer time? All right, I'm going to end there. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and as we go into the invitation, before we hit that, I do want to take an opportunity to give the gospel for anyone here who may not be saved. The reason why we are talking about this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through prayer is we can have that because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. You see, we are all sinners. God created us all, and back when God created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, He gave them a simple command, and they broke that command. That started the first sin. And ever since then, we have a sin nature, and all of us have chosen to sin, to break God's law, to break God's commands. And this separates us from God, the God who created us to be with Him forever, the God who loves us, who wants us to be with Him. We have sinned against Him, and that separates us from God. And the Bible makes it clear that the penalty of our sin is eternal death, separation from God forever in the lake of fire, in a terrible place. And maybe you think, well, I'm not that bad. I know I have some sin, but I'm not that bad. Just examine God's law, the commandments that He's given us. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. If you just go through those and examine your life, you will see how we are guilty of breaking those commandments. And the Bible makes it clear, if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all. But God loves us. He doesn't want us to be separated from Him forever. He does not want us to go to hell. This is the reason why He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. Who is God? He is the Creator God. He came down in the flesh, became a human, lived a perfect life without sin for us so that He could take our place in punishment. It would require a perfect substitute, a perfect sacrifice. Even the sacrifices we were briefly talking about today were pictures of the coming Messiah, who would be the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice to take away our sin. That is who Jesus Christ is. And He did that. He came. He lived that perfect life. He died on the cross in payment for the sins of the whole world, including mine and yours. And then 3 days later, He rose from the dead, proving that He is God and He can give us eternal life. And what it takes for us to receive that salvation that Jesus Christ offers through His death on the cross is repentance and faith. To repent from whatever it is we're believing in that's not Jesus Christ. To repent from following after our sins and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and to ask Him alone for salvation, as the thief on the cross did when the day that Christ died on the cross. He recognized that he was a sinner. He recognized that Jesus Christ could save him, and he simply cried out and asked Christ to save him, and he was saved. And so that is the gospel. That is the gospel. That is why we're here. That's why we do what we do, to tell others about the gospel, that we may have salvation. So I want to give the opportunity. Does anyone here that says, I don't know that I'm saved? We would like to pray for you. Is there anyone here that would show by raising your hand, I don't know that I'm saved? And we won't call you out, won't embarrass you. Just like to acknowledge that so we can pray for anyone here would just raise your hand and say, I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know that I'm saved. All right, I'm not seeing any, so if you did, I missed it. But all right, so Christian, we'll go into a time of invitation now. How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? How has it been lately? Is it something that needs stirred up again and made like we see in Psalm 141 here? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word and for this psalm. We pray that you bless this invitation, that your will be done. We love you. We ask things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. All right, let's all stand and grab our hymn books. We'll go to page 264, page 264. And as we sing the song, the altar is open if you need to come and pray.